This episode of the Android Central podcast is not brought to you by Star Wars, because we're apparently the only thing they're not sponsoring. I don't know what's up with that. I haven't even seen the movie yet. I'm going on Saturday. Very excited. Real quick, before we get going, just a quick heads up that we will not be doing a podcast at all on Christmas week. We are all taking, well, we're not taking the week off, but we're not doing a podcast. We will have one more around the new year. I don't know if it's going to be live. We'll probably pre-record it. We'll just have to see. So look out for that. But nothing next week. We'll be back the week after that. And then the week after that, we will be in Las Vegas for CES. So very excited about that. That's going to be a good time. So much good stuff coming. And just thank you all for a really cool 2015. And we will be back with a lot more in 2016. So enjoy this one, and we'll see y'all in a couple weeks. Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central podcast. It is episode number 267. Had to wait for that page to load, because I was not going to screw that number up this week. For Friday, December 18th, 2015. Welcome to the show. This is the last one of the year, the last podcast of the year, because we are taking next week off for Christmas. And, you know, it's just been a long time since we took a week off anyway. Hi, Phil Nickinson. Wow. You okay? Somebody just fall?
I'm good.
All right. Just checking. Well, you were a lot taller a minute ago. What happened? That's Russell
Hawley. My chair is having some problems.
That's Russell Hawley, everybody.
Hello.
And his chair.
And his chair. Jerry Hildenbrand.
What up? I'm green.
Yeah, but at least we just figured out what it is.
It's like he's right. Hulking out here.
It's not your computer or your phone. It's all me. There was this radioactive spider, and now it's green.
You live in a constant green haze.
What can you do?
Pretty much.
Andrew Martinick in Seattle.
Not in a green haze. Well, you know, the city maybe. Not me.
So if this is somehow your first time joining us, welcome. Apparently somebody originally scheduled this hangout for yesterday.
So,
somebody. Been a while since I'd done this. It's funny how it's sort of like riding a bike, but it's easy how you forget the little things. So, yes, this is our last one of the year. We're going to take next week off. It's been a long time since we didn't do a podcast just for advertising purposes. So, it'll be nice to have the weekend off, or the week off, I guess. And then the week after that actually is going to be pretty... No, we're around the week after that, aren't we? Yeah, we are. All right, so we'll be back New Year's week. We'll figure out something. I don't know if we want to do a podcast live on New Year's Day, though. We'll have to discuss that.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
But only if I can be in my pajamas hungover.
Well, isn't that every day?
Stop! Tell them.
We will probably... I'm looking right now, actually, to see if we got any ads for that week. Yeah, we do. So we will have a podcast of some sort that week.
Party.
And then the week after that is CES. So, I go to Vegas on the 2nd, I guess. And we will do something somehow from Vegas. Probably not live. We'll just have to see what's going on and when it's going on.
Or we might just huddle around a microphone in a hotel room somewhere.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll probably do something with all of us who are there, because Alex is coming over. Andrew's going to be there. I'll be there. Mark Wynn will be there. Who else do we have? We're taking a smaller crew this year, but it'll be all right. So I don't know. We'll figure it out. So anyway, next few weeks, still a little crazy is the point, but so much going on still. I'm kind of knee deep in all sorts of stuff. Russell's not far behind me. You guys are all busy. So let's start with a voicemail. Let's just get the one voicemail done. It's a good question too. If you haven't, and I know it's been a little while, email us at podcast@androidcentral.com. You can record your voice and send it in, and it's a lot of fun. But again, it's going to be a couple weeks till we get to them again, so maybe hang out. I don't know. We'll see. We'll give you that address a few more times between now and then. So let's do this with Joe.
Hey, Android Central. This is Joe from New York, and I have a question for you concerning buying new phones versus used phones. I've got my eye on the Nexus 6P, but it's a little bit too expensive for me at $500. I've noticed that the Galaxy Note 4 is trending used on Swappa for about $300. It stands toe-to-toe spec-wise with the Nexus, and it's going to be receiving a Marshmallow update. My question is there any compelling reason that would justify spending an extra $200 on the Nexus versus buying the used Note 4? Love to hear your opinion. Thank you very much for the great podcast. Happy / Merry Christmas, everybody. And Phil, I did not record this message on my watch.
Really? People aren't going to let me live that down, huh?
You've done it. You opened the door.
Well, you specifically asked for it is the problem.
Well, I mean, I did and I didn't was the thing. Anyway, note 4 to a 6P.
The note 4 is not going to get updated beyond Marshmallow.
Yeah.
It's and never going to happen.
Also, it's just not as good a phone as the 6P.
I would suggest, I was with you on the used phone thing. Dude, until you got to Note 4, I would look in forums online and see just how dissatisfied people are with the way that phone handles the upgraded operating system, and then decide if you want to risk a Marshmallow upgrade that may make it worse or may make it better.
Yeah, I'm with you trying to save money. But you
this
also
has kind of been the general question, though. Like, do you go with, not necessarily, we're not talking about a mid-range, but do you go with last year's flagships, or do you go with this year's mid-range phones? Like, that's, I mean, we get this question pretty much every year.
I think the difference in this case, though, is that the 6P turned out to be a really, really good phone, and it's one that I can see someone justifying having for a while. So you're talking about saving money. The Note 4 you're going to buy, you're going to be pissed off with in a year, and you're going to buy something else. It's going to happen. So you get a Nexus 6P, you're going to be happy sticking with it for a while, which isn't something we get to say about Nexus phones all the time. And that's really nice. So that I would say spend a little bit more upfront knowing that it's actually going to last you a while.
I cannot disagree with that. And it's a matter of like getting what you pay for. I think the 6P, you're getting more of what you pay for than a Note 4 at this point. The Note 4 was kind of one of those, I don't know, it was kind of a non-starter for me. I like the Note 5 a lot more than I like the Note 4. I think it's the Note 5 was just a much better phone. And I'm trying to think back because it's been a while.
I thought the Note 4 was really, really good until the update broke the one that I had.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's kind of one of those things about updates, right? I hate to say it's a crapshoot, but...
Now, you have to understand Samsung has a few phones that they're actually working on the software with, and then they try to shoehorn it back into older phones and not start from scratch. So you're going to see issues sometimes.
Updates aren't easy.
Yep.
We've said that a lot. That was a good question, though, and certainly one we're probably going to have to answer some more over the coming weeks as people start getting Christmas money and new phones and all the stuff that's coming out at CES. We'll see. Going back to that line in the sand I drew, and I know I said it in the post that, you know, we're going to see some non-Marshmallow stuff come out at CES, but I got a feeling I'm going to eat those words a little. Maybe. Maybe not.
I mean, does that pertain to what we were just talking about at all?
You know, there's an interesting question. Can you,
if you're talking about a phone that's a year old,
right.
I mean, you have to be realistic about when it's going to be updated and what it's launching with.
I think Jerry's point was spot on, and I think Russell's point was spot on in that case. That's a tough one. I would find a way to spend the extra money if that was me.
Yeah. Not because it's a Nexus. I mean,
yeah, sure.
Buy a Note 5 if you're dead set on a Samsung phone. That's a little more than $500, but it's still a better phone than last year.
I like the Note 5 a lot. I really do. I picked it up for a minute this week, and and if there was a non-Nexus phone I was going to go with at this point, it would probably be the Note 5. And Jerry and I have been talking like the V10. Jerry's line all week has been, I love this phone. I hate this phone. And
it's true.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. There's a lot to like about it, and there's a lot that's just... I mean, how many times have we said this about LG? But there's a lot that just kind of drives you nuts.
One day, LG is going to nail their software,
yep.
And they're going to be like the super phone, and all these companies are just going to go out of business. I just hope I'm alive to see it.
Me too. So let's get into the weeds a little bit. The Pixel C is now available. I've got one. Russell's got one. Speaking of frustration...
Jerry and I do not have one, and so we have strong smiles on our face.
It was hilarious. Phil said we use Slack to communicate with each other. Phil said, "Who else wants a Pixel C?" me and Andrew didn't say a word for like an hour.
Just to make sure. And they shut down Slack, turned off the computer.
And he goes, okay, I ordered one. All right.
There is a lot to like about this tablet. There is a whole lot to like about this tablet. It's got a beautiful display. The optional keyboard case things are really good for the most part, except for a few things that aren't. I like the metal design. It's not as comfortable, I think, as something like the Nexus 9, but I love the look and feel of it. It looks really nice. It looks very quality. It's very well put together. Do not buy this tablet. Russell, am I wrong? Is there any reason for anyone to spend any money on this tablet right now?
No, I think it'll be a really great tablet when it's done.
And
unfortunately, that's exactly what I said about the Nexus 9, and I was right about the Nexus 9. It was not worth buying when it came out, but when Google got their business together and got the software tidied up a little bit and got some of the bugs worked out, and then the price came down about $100, it was the tablet to buy for the whole rest of the year.
I think it might still be.
Yeah, it's still a fantastic. I mean,
especially at $300
right now are this and the Tegra K1. And the only reason to buy the Tegra K1 is if you are like actually into doing the gaming on the Android tablet or doing the remote gaming that NVIDIA has been doing really well.
Yeah.
Other than that, the Nexus 9 is the way to go.
Shield tablet K1.
Right.
Right.
The awkwardly named Shield tablet.
Very.
Yeah.
I was interested in getting a Pixel C and know that I'll live through bugs for the first 6 months until Phil started talking about it. You know, telling us what his experiences were. I'm too old for that. I'll wait till they fix it. Then you can.
Well, and I think Russell brought up the good point that the Nexus 9 on Amazon today is like $295.
Yeah.
And the Pixel C is $200 more and
it
looks a lot nicer. It's, shiny and cool and all the magnets and stuff. But when it comes to just using it and getting value out of it, is it $200 better? No, it's not even $1 better. It's like the same experience.
It really, and that's what's frustrating right now, is that it's the same experience. NVIDIA's got a much more powerful processor in this thing. The display is a much higher resolution. Not much higher, but it's, a higher resolution.
It looks a lot better. The display, like, it's not as washed out.
Yeah.
I don't recall the Nexus 9 necessarily being a wonderment of display quality.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good, but it's not like blown your socks off.
It's not like if you're reading text or something, then it definitely looks better on the Pixel C. But if you're playing games, you put these two tablets side by side and you're playing games, you're not going to notice a difference.
You're not going to, well,
in screen quality.
In screen quality, yeah, just because you're not focusing on it quite the same. I have noticed. Vainglory is the example I'm using because I play it a lot. Vainglory has more detail on the Pixel C, and I'm waiting to hear exactly why that is from NVIDIA. But Russell, you were saying it's probably just the extra cores, right?
Well, so yeah, the extra cores means that that their Vainglory can give more instructions to the processor at the same time, which means the extra shader cores are actually shaping, are actually applying a little more detail as it's happening. And it's not much. I mean, you really have to take screenshots and look at them side by side.
Yeah, it's nothing I noticed until we took those screenshots and then took a look. But like in gameplay, I didn't notice.
Yeah, and that the result there is that the X1 processor has more shader cores to work with, and so that's what we're seeing. But it's such a subtle difference, and the software has to be optimized for it. And that would be really cool if the whole rest of the tablet was also optimized for this processor, but it's not. So the performance for everything else is just about the same as the Nexus 9.
Here's my biggest problem. One, I'm not quite there in the size yet. That's going to take me a little while to warm up to. It's just bigger and it's not as comfortable to hold. This is a tablet that's meant to be displayed like this by default. Look at all that reflection. Whee! So it's meant to be displayed in landscape horizontally. A lot of apps don't work well on that, if at all. Instagram is the big example. So you fire up Instagram, you're going to have to go, whoop, okay. And actually, by the way, Instagram only works one direction vertically. It doesn't reverse. So,
and that's just a weird one because Instagram doesn't make an iPad scaled app either. You you get a gigantic iPhone app on the iPad, even on the iPad Pro.
Yeah, and it's
Instagram is just bad about that.
It's far from the only example. It's far from the only example. I use Relay for Reddit for my Reddit app, and it will not play videos or animated GIFs. And I say GIFs, get over it. In Portrait, it will not play them vertically. They just freeze. Now, is that an app problem? Is that an OS problem? Both, I guess.
Want to see multi-windowed apps with Instagram?
Oh, now see?
Boom, Samsung. They just force it.
Well, yeah.
You feel good about yourself right now, Andrew?
Yeah. Yeah, I looked at some sweet pictures of, you know, people's dinner at the same time as reading some email. It was pretty sweet. But it's the same thing. If you open up just Instagram, it won't rotate.
And there are plenty of other examples, especially, and we're not even getting into the keyboards yet. So, the keyboards, when you're using them, the phone is in landscape. But you're going to, like, turn this keyboard sideways? Yes, Jerry. Sorry.
What?
Oh, I thought you were going to say something.
No, I was just laughing, Andrew.
But so, I went through the same thing because I was reviewing the Tab S2 8.0, which is obviously the smaller version, but they make a 9.7-inch version that's the exact same. And this kind of has a bit of the opposite problem because it has Samsung's buttons down at the bottom. It's very much a portrait device. Even the 9.7-inch is oriented by the logos and the buttons and everything as a portrait device, which is really weird. But then when you think about how poor the landscape Android apps are, if they even go landscape, you can't really blame Samsung too much for going portrait. Of course, they still offer a keyboard and a larger one, and it does go landscape, but you can't really blame them for having a portrait first experience when, especially on an 8-inch tablet, you know, apps, you know, they look okay on an 8-inch tablet when they scale up from the phone, even if they weren't necessarily designed to do that. But on the 9.7 or the 10.2-inch Pixel C, it's just, they look so, it's so clown shoes. They look horrible.
Yeah, my problem isn't that it prefers landscape. It's just that Google hasn't given any other option. Like, you know, if Instagram's not going to fix it, then Android itself, then the OS needs to say, all right, we're going to take it and we're going to letterbox the hell out of the app, and it's not going to be ideal, and it's going to kind of be crappy like old iPhone apps used to be before they scaled up, right?
Yeah.
But you got to do something.
But just, that's what I said. Just look at what Samsung does. When you hit multi-window on some of these apps, even if they haven't been, I mean, for the most part, it requires that they've checked the box to be part of multi-window. In this case, you know, you get two phone apps side by side, and it forces it because it fits, right? This is a 4x3 8-inch tablet, so you know it's pretty easy to make them just look like two phone apps.
No, and it
works.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Y'all are being way too easy on Instagram.
Yeah,
it's their fault because everybody will download Instagram so they can see Miley Cyrus's latest tattoo, whether it's in portrait or landscape. We just use it. Instagram doesn't care until people stop using it.
Oh, absolutely. The fact that they don't even have a proper iPad app shows that.
Yep.
They really don't care. It's not that they don't care about Android users. They don't care about
They don't care about
users.
Anybody. That's right. They only care when the people stop downloading and using. Then they'll do something.
Let's be perfectly clear. In most cases, this is developers choosing not to focus on things that are important. Slack. I mean, we use Slack every single day. There is no reason for the login screen for Slack to force a single orientation in portrait.
Yep.
This is 2015, fix your crap. Like, there's no excuse for stuff like that.
I mean, I think we have to look at there's two different levels of it. There's the not even offering landscape support and not offering, like, your login screen and landscape. That just is crazy. I don't know how you possibly do that. But the next level is more understandable, where there's not a proper tablet layout that uses multiple columns or, you know, takes advantage of extra real estate. And that's more understandable. We know that there's, you know, a big development cost to doing that, and not all apps do.
I went and let me see if I can find the numbers again. It's the number of people using tablets with the Android Central app is really small, not tiny, but it was like, I don't think it was any higher than 30%.
Of all devices?
I know why. If you grab your Nexus 9 and open Chrome, go to Android Central and request desktop site, mm-hmm. you don't need the app.
All right.
It doesn't work on even a 5-inch phone, but on a big tablet, you know, 7 inches or higher, it works really well. I still think you get a better experience from the app, but I can see why people, oh, I don't need to install that on my tablet. The internet looks just fine.
Let's see. Carry the one. Yeah, it's still a pretty small percentage. And it's a chicken and the egg thing, right? I mean, do we not have...
There aren't a ton of great tablets, let's be honest.
Well,
I mean,
all right, so it's a chicken and the egg thing. It's do we worry about...
That's one of the chicken or the eggs.
No, do we worry about making a really good tablet experience when not that many people are using tablets,
right?
Or are not that many people using tablets because we don't have a great tablet experience? It's both, right?
Probably both.
Yeah.
And there's a discovery issue to be brought up there too. I mean, Google doesn't point out what the best tablet oriented apps are. Someone goes to the Play Store with a tablet.
They don't. Because they did. They did for about 6 months.
They did.
They did it with the Nexus 7 2013. They started doing a 4 tablet section, and when you searched, it would only show apps that checked that box saying that they were tablet compatible.
But if you
know what it is?
It's not there.
Yeah, it's, and I think that was just, I could be wrong, but I think that only triggered if you had tablet screenshots in the listing, which is kind of a silly way to do it, but I mean, I did
though it. Though it did show that your app worked on tablets.
Right. And that's
is the thing. I mean, you can go to the Play Store, you can install Slack because you had it on your phone and you just bought a tablet, and then you get the absolute worst possible experience because it just forces you into portrait to sign in, and then once you get there, it sucks.
Yeah, what's worse is you'll be using it, you know, with the keyboard like this, and then have to turn it sideways. It's
bingo.
Ridiculous.
That's the entire problem. If their keyboard wasn't there, you would just turn it sideways, do what you need to do.
It goes from annoying to unacceptable at that point. You're not willing to flip it over. But also, it just shows how crazy it was that, you know, Google made the keyboard experience such like an integral part of selling the thing, but it wasn't necessarily an integral part of using it.
I want to talk more about the keyboards in a second. I mean, somebody out there right now is screaming, but Google's working on multi-window and it's coming in Android N.
And why is this on sale today?
So go back to that.
That too.
Go back to that Reddit AMA. First, I'm not sure they said that multi-window is coming in N. I think they need to have it out before N.
You're telling me that Google's working on new features for the next version of Android?
Right. And
is that what you're trying to say?
Yes. Multi-window was in a developer preview of Marshmallow, but it was hidden in a developer preview of Marshmallow. It was not, you know, there was not just a checkbox you had to do.
They stole it from us, Phil.
Yes.
Well, the problem, they have to figure out a way to make multi-window work while developers don't do anything.
Right.
Because 500,000 of the 1.5 million apps in Google Play are never going to be updated ever.
I'd take the over on that.
So you can't give multi-window support and then half the apps in your app store don't work.
I don't know. I don't know the right
answer. They tried the other way, which was just giving all these incentives and encouraging developers to do it and giving them the right tools, and it's not working. So they're going to have to do something else. But I have a feeling that if they start forcing it, kind of like what I showed on the Tab S2, it's going to blow up. It's not going to be a good, it's not going to be any better of an experience than right now opening Slack and having it be enforced into portrait. Having a really broken multi-window is not going to be any better.
I'm purposefully avoiding, and our review will be up on Monday, and I'm purposefully avoiding all the talk about what supposedly, you know, this device was going to run and what it might have been. And, like, that doesn't matter. Matter at all.
Do it so the people actually worked on it from the beginning can laugh some more.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for all intents and purposes right now, this is just a different Android tablet. It's a different Nexus tablet.
And that's what it was advertised as.
Right. What it was supposed to be doesn't matter. And it was pretty obvious. I mean, I was at the event. I was at the Nexus launch event. And it was pretty obvious when we first saw this thing that it's supposed to be something else. I mean, if for no other reason than this weird aspect ratio where you cut the thing in half, multi-window, cut the thing in half, and then the aspect ratio is the same on either side. Like, if that doesn't tell you that, it, at the very least, that feature was, you know, somebody was hoping it would be ready by now, and it just wasn't. And you know what? That happens. I get it.
But I still don't get why it was released without that.
Well, I mean, no, you have launch windows.
You can still... This is the main reason why you did this tablet, right? Keyboard support, multi-window.
No.
And it doesn't. And it sucks with both of those things.
The main reason this tablet was built is because Surface 4 and iPad Pro.
Okay. This is not a competitor for those in any way without either one of those main features.
They still had to get it out there before Christmas.
Yeah,
right.
Otherwise, people can buy it and be frustrated.
I agree with you that it was a bad decision. I just understand where the decision came from.
Yeah, and I get the launch windows, and you know, it's okay. You get to a stopping point and you put it out, but it's like this thing now. Everybody that gets one, which debatable how many people that'll actually be, not that many, are going to have a bad experience, and they're not going to be interested in having another one.
I don't want to say bad experience. I mean,
just not better than what we already have.
Not right. Any better than the big Android tablet experience, which is already really weak.
Well, let's
doesn't do anything but further the thought that big Android tablets are kind of like.
No, I'm going to tell you about a bad experience with this. We're going to take a break first, and when we come back, I'm going to collect my thoughts. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about a bad experience with this. And for those of you watching the video, which direction am I going? It involves this thing.
For those of you listening to the audio, you can only imagine.
Yes.
For those of you listening to the audio, Phil is shaking his tablet around in midair.
I am.
Really exciting.
Whee!
It's on fire, actually.
All right. Hang on. We'll be right back, and I will pull myself together. Maybe. I'm not gonna. This episode of the Android Central Podcast has been brought to you by Braintree. Developers around the world have embraced the Braintree V.0 SDK as the easiest way to add secure mobile payments to their apps and websites. No matter what payment type, Braintree accepts it. Apple Pay, Android Pay, PayPal, Venmo, credit cards, and even Bitcoin. And if something new pops up, they'll support that too. It's the same payment solution that's used by Uber, Airbnb, and GitHub, so you know it scales. And integrating it into your app is as easy as inserting a few lines of code. But don't take our word for it. Try out the sandbox and see for yourself at braintreepayments.com/androidcentral. All right, so this thing, it's my biggest problem with this Pixel C. Number one, it does not have just a normal cover. I cannot buy a normal...
flip cover.
Yeah, really. Where's my Nexus 9? I think it's down in my bag. A normal overpriced... Yeah, what Jerry has there.
Coral pink for the win.
Baby. That's the color. That's the same color I have in my Nexus 9.
That's one of the nice things I like about the Shield tablet is it has the little trifold magnetic cover. You know,
and
light and easy, protects the screen when you stuff it in your bag.
I get it. They're pushing these keyboards. And notice I haven't said productivity once because I think that's a ridiculous argument that just because it has a keyboard, it's productive.
But that was a huge thing about this tablet is that it has these awesome keyboards and it's built with these magnets inside. So those magnets do nothing but attach to specific keyboards that are supposed to be laptop style and really nice and easy to use. And they're built for it.
So there's a lot
to are you supposed to do with that keyboard.
There is a lot to like about this keyboard. And I'm talking sideways so you guys can see it in the video. Look at that. I can see myself. That works even better. There's a lot to like here. I mean, first, the magnets are incredible, and the way you attach this thing is cool as hell. And then it just folds up. So, like, my problem is when not in use, and this is a huge deal with this keyboard. This is called just the Pixel C keyboard. When not in use, the display is face down on the keyboard like that. Okay, and if you haven't seen this in the videos, I mean, it's very cool. To get it off, you slide it sideways, and then it comes apart. The problem is sand and dirt and grit will get in here. It absolutely will get in here. And I've already scratched the hell out of really the bezel of the display. I haven't gotten the middle yet, thank God. But
point being that that's the officially...
This is how you do it.
...required and sanctioned way. That's how they advise that you remove it.
This is not me like doing it some weird way. You move it sideways. And you know, I purposefully chose not to be really careful with how I was going to do it. I would, you know, treat it like I treat any other device, and I've scratched it. It has absolutely happened. That's just not good. It's a $150 keyboard. Start with that, but this is the thinner of the two options. And the only way for me to take it on and off has a very high potential of scratching the glass. And that's the only option I have. I can't get a cover. That's asinine. That is crazy. You know,
physics is why you can't have a cover.
Why?
Because it's too heavy and it's too tall.
Why?
It'll tip over, you mean.
It'll tip over if it's in a trifold thing.
Well, that's fine. Never, so I don't use it to prop it up. Then I just use it to protect the thing.
Sure.
I mean, there's got to be, and I haven't seen anything good on Amazon.
The whole thing is, that's a different argument than the keyboard scratching the screen, because you're not going to use the cover with, you're not going to use the keyboard with the cover. Like, you use one or the other.
Right.
But the way that the keyboard comes together with it is crazy.
Now, the magnets are cool as hell. I mean, you can, all right, see, I did manage to get the fly off. Sweet. I don't think that's the direction they did it in any of the demos, like really get the hinge to fly off. Like, the magnets are cool as hell. The keys are excellent. There is a lot to like about this keyboard.
But so that gets back to my question. What do you do with that keyboard when it's attached to that tablet?
Right. Why am I going to...
Why are you going to buy this keyboard?
I'm not.
Other than it being really cool,
it's
making a 2-pound tablet.
It's too heavy and it's too thick.
Let's take that one step further. Why would you buy the Pixel C if you didn't want the keyboard over the XXX from Samsung?
Right.
Or PC or Nexus or whatever.
I wouldn't.
That gets back to the original discussion of the Nexus 9 doing what the Pixel C does, because you wouldn't ever use the keyboard that's available for the Nexus 9 because it's way too cramped.
Yep.
But there's nothing to do with it anyway, so why would you want it?
I've got the official keyboard for the Nexus 9, and I'm going to tell you, there's no reason to use it. There's nothing that it's better at than just using the touchscreen.
And it's not even about the keyboard being cramped. It's that the OS itself doesn't lend itself to using a keyboard any better.
Are you going to open up Google Docs and like jam out a novel on there or something?
Absolutely, yeah. Nothing has changed.
That's maybe the only thing you can do is open Google Docs and
I'm going to correct five myself. Paragraphs. I'm going to correct myself, maybe because we have Chromebooks and MacBooks. We don't see any use for it, but maybe other people would use it for Google Docs.
So. Ahem.
Russell?
According to the documentation I got from Google, along with my Pixel C, we are working with game developers to integrate better keyboard controls. Be sure to try out Asphalt 8 Airborne's keyboard controls for racing.
WASD, man.
Hmm.
$150.
$150 gamepad for Asphalt 8.
Yeah,
so
no.
If I think about month. That, right, so I look at my Shield tablet, and that has a really nice trifold case that flips back and props up, and a really nice $60 game controller that's available that's a proper game controller, and it destroys any game that's made for a game controller.
I'm just telling you what Google told me.
Oh, I know.
I'm shooting you all with my controller.
Now, it's funny, you know, the keyboard is almost exactly the same size as the keyboard on key spacing and whatnot on the Dell Venue 10, which I have behind me. But there's a whole bunch of extra space for your palms to rest and an actual trackpad. And like I said in the review for the Dell 10, the trackpad makes a huge difference in how you actually use it to interact with stuff, because you can actually start to use it like you would use a more traditional laptop for a lot of things that you would do in that interface. And it makes typing, like just sitting down and trying to do something like, you know, write in our back end or open a Google Doc and type, it's really awkward to use the keyboard on this thing, even though it's almost exactly the same as the Dell. And I think a lot of that has to do with the lack of hand rest and probably also a lack of the trackpad.
I think it's more so the trackpad, actually, because this weird movement between typing on the keyboard then reaching up and pecking at the screen, especially for fine text selection and things like that where you're going to be typing, I think it makes a big difference.
There is...
And you look at the
it makes me Surface, mad.
So like the Surface 3,
I'm upset.
Not as fully functional of a keyboard itself, maybe because it's kind of springy, but it has the trackpad and, you know, it's fully sized. You have the iPad Pro, no trackpad, kind of a mushy keyboard. It doesn't make as much sense. I mean, it's just trying to shoehorn this thing in. Obviously, the Dell Venue is a bit bigger, obviously, and they have all that extra room to be able to use a trackpad.
So
it's not, though. It's the same size.
Just for the sake of showing it, just for the sake of showing it, here's the leather keyboard, the leather folio keyboard, and it's got a, I think that's plastic, like a hard plastic back, and it just drops in here. It is held in there magnetically, too, so there's some metal in there. And then you have two positions, two angles for viewing. I always struggle getting in the second one. There we go. Without trying, especially sitting up like this. Again, not a bad keyboard. And the keys are exactly the same as on the other one. This is the only one, you know, when you're done with it, you just close it. And fine. Cool. Not going to scratch anything that way. I've taken to keeping it in this and then just taking it out when I get home.
But so that's like that's almost 2 pounds of tablet and keyboard there.
Yep. And twice as thick.
That's nuts.
I can't put this in my bag with my laptop. I like having a tablet with me, but it needs to be something that I can slip into my laptop bag along with a computer. And that's me. Maybe your situation is different. Well, that's great.
I've even been able to justify carrying a half a pound Tab S2 because I've already got the 3 pound laptop and the phone. So, you know, what is this extra half a pound getting me, let alone a pound,
you know,
and a half?
Well, you know what I do when I'm on the road is a lot of the time I'll have the tablet and it travels in my laptop bag. But when I get to the hotel, I just leave it in the hotel, which is kind of dumb, but it's how I do it.
Well, but it's also nice for having Netflix on in the background or video chatting with your kids. And Andrew doesn't do that because his kids are from the future.
Right, I hate everybody, too.
But yeah,
Hates everybody.
For going from somebody who lugs up a tablet to wherever I'm going, I almost cannot take the Pixel C with me.
But that's the thing, yeah. So, okay, you've decided to have a tablet on you. It's not like you're choosing between no tablet and Pixel C.
Right.
Like, you could carry the Tab S2, which is half a pound and you know, paper thin, and you could carry this and you could do all your video chats and your Netflix and whatever.
Well, and that's the point. There are options, and this is not one I would recommend, I don't think.
Yeah.
And again, that's not to say it's a bad tablet. It's not a bad tablet. The keyboards are not bad. The keyboards are really good.
Well, the keyboards are okay. There's a weird Bluetooth thing that I'm fighting with.
All right, I'll walk that back. The keyboards are pretty good. I think the implementation, especially of just the plain Pixel C keyboard, is really good. I think the magnets are, you know, I love the magnets, except for when I have to scratch the hell out of my screen to put them on and off.
And so the thing is, this is not the first tablet to come with a first-party keyboard. I mean, the Asus has been doing it with the Transformers forever. Samsung's big 10 and 12-inch tablets have had first-party keyboards. But for some reason... Well, not for some reason. For a legitimate reason, we expected to be able to do a little more with it when Google made such a big deal about having the keyboards in the Pixel C.
Something...
I love the idea, and I always get excited about it, the convertible type of device, but then when you realize that you can't do anything with it, kind of falls apart.
Yeah, it's...
And I know Phil kind of glazed over it earlier, and because, you know, we're not supposed to be talking about it, but this would be really nice if it was Chrome OS.
Yes, absolutely. If my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle.
Well, excuse me.
I love that line. It's a great line.
Further to Russell's point, you could just, I mean, buy a Chromebook? Is the touch Chrome OS experience that great?
It's not that it's that great. It's just it's something that I enjoy having when I'm like sitting on the couch. I want a Chrome OS tablet. I've wanted one for a long time. One that's just a decent, you know, kind of tablet that runs Chrome OS that I can put a keyboard in occasionally, because Android keyboards are pretty awesome. And if we can take one or two of them and, you know, mess them over into Chrome OS land, then I'd be pretty happy with, a little keyboard that sat in the corner while I messed around on Chrome OS and kind of got that experience. By and large, I think I'd be pretty happy with that. I don't think it would be something that's super great for everyone, because like you said, the Chrome OS touch experience isn't like 100% there yet. And I'm sure that that's why the closest thing we have right now is the, what is the Flip?
Asus Chromebook Flip, yeah. I mean, I think about that experience, which is a 10.5-inch convertible laptop. The keyboard doesn't come off, it just flips around the back.
Right.
So it's not a great tablet experience. But I just think about the touch experience being, you know, pretty simple. I mean, it's good for watching media or, you know, scrolling through articles and whatnot, but that's about it.
I think when we get a Chrome tablet, we're going to have the same conversation, just in reverse.
Absolutely.
Weekend project for Russell.
I'm not putting Chrome OS on the Pixel C.
Surface 4 with VM running Chrome OS.
Well, I don't have a Surface 4.
Well, I thought you did. Well, go buy one.
Yeah.
Problem is the Surface 3, which everybody compares the Pixel C to, it's way closer to a laptop. It's not a great tablet experience on the other side either. That's a 1.5-pound tablet. The keyboard doesn't make up a lot of the weight. So together, it's about the same weight as the Pixel C. But the tablet part is like, you know, 1.4 pounds or something, and it's not a very good tablet in the first place. So it's not a very, I mean, you end up with a lot of the same problems. It does laptop-like stuff a lot better, but that's about it.
Russell, I don't want to beat up on this thing all day. Russell, how would you fix this tablet just from your short time with it so far?
Apps. The apps need to stop being terrible. The solution is either Google steps down really hard on developers and gets a proper recommendation system in Google Play, or takes the Samsung route and starts splitting the screen in half and doing apps. I think you could probably get away with one or the other. Obviously, both would be better. Something needs to give there with apps, and I think I would be way happier with it if that were to happen.
Jerry, I know you haven't really seen this too much, but how would you fix it?
Not buy it and use that money to buy a used original Pixel Master Race Chromebook and have touch and no apps, but exactly what Russell's asking for.
What do you have against the second generation Pixel?
I never used it. It may be great.
You heathen.
I know the first one is by far the best laptop I've ever touched.
My kids are still using it. Don't miss me.
More expensive. Is the new one's more expensive. So.
Yeah. By the way, actually, I should have mentioned this, and we just got caught up in ourselves. And not to be one of those, you know, USB-C nerds, but this thing charges so much faster than the Nexus 9, though. That is one big difference for me.
You need to embrace being a USB-C nerd.
I know.
Because it's going to happen, and I'm the only one so far who has been, like, publicly excited about this port. Because it's really stupid to be publicly excited about a port and a cable.
Exactly.
But it feels so nice to not have to worry about where the cable is going, to put the cable in, that satisfying click when it like actually docks in, and then all the nice new fast charging stuff that we're getting.
This thing charges in 2.5 hours.
Embrace the C. Yeah.
So that's the thing. Do we have any other tablets that have Qualcomm Quick Charge? This isn't quick charge, obviously.
It's
USB-C rapid charging, but I know that the new Samsungs don't even have Samsung's adaptive fast charging. The Nexus 9 obviously doesn't have Qualcomm quick charge.
Yeah,
do we have any tablets that do? I mean,
it's made a difference in the way
on a bigger device.
It's made a difference in the way I use it. The Nexus 9, I kind of have to time around when I know I'm going to need to charge it. This thing, you know, if I charge it for an hour, I'm in pretty good shape for a while.
You just top it up for a while. It's no big deal.
Yeah. And that's made a pretty big difference. And by the way, the way the tablet charges the keyboards, I just think it's cool as hell. It's inductive charging. So when it's closed, like it's closed now, it's actually charging the keyboard. I have no idea how long the battery and the keyboard will last. I think Google said something like months or something. Yeah, some ridiculous long time too. But, you know, all you have to do is close it.
Separated from it long enough to
right.
matter.
The keyboard is... It's just a dumb Bluetooth low energy device. That's all it is.
Yeah,
it might as well just have a docking port on it, so it just plugs directly into the tablet.
With the advancement in Bluetooth, and sorry, Russell,
let Russell talk about that advanced Bluetooth.
Yeah, you don't need a port anymore because it's just sending super low power signals when you press a key, and it's not doing anything when you're not pressing a key. So it should, in theory, it should, yeah, I can see it lasting for months between a charge if you don't use it.
Yeah, I mean, like, I should be curious about how long it actually does last, but I just don't care because it's that easy to charge. Yep. Like, I don't have to do anything. So it's one of those few times where I'm just going to say, I don't care at all.
It's almost as good as I'm going to redirect again, the Dell keyboard. When it's got those pins, there's no battery at all. It's just when it's connected, it wakes up and does the dumb Bluetooth thing. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing as far as I'm concerned. Yep. You're never going to have to worry about it either way.
I had to look that up. In the Pixel C, it's called the Hall sensor.
Yeah. So
it can detect when the keyboard is in the proper place and connect it. For some reason, the Folio is not working right.
Detect when you throw it down the hall.
Yeah. So we'll have plenty more in the Pixel C. Review's coming up this coming week.
Well, the one thing that this has done...
Yes.
Every year we say Google needs to work on the ecosystem for tablets. Now they actually... They
maybe now it will.
Not because we say they do, but because it's so obvious and evident.
I think they should do it because we say they do.
Well...
Why not?
Well, we also have to, and this is something we haven't said anything about at all, and we're not going to see evidence of it until next year. The Pixel C is on a different software track than the Nexus 9.
Yeah, I guess.
That makes it better. Weeks. That makes every everything way
weeks.
Better.
We're going to get a depressing software build every 6 weeks instead of every
But I mean, there's potential there for good to come of that.
Well, I mean, do we know what that means?
It means that the Pixel team is doing stuff separate from the core Android team and releasing it when they think it's done.
Well, I guess. I mean, we haven't actually seen that happen yet. And you can say every 6 weeks for Nexus because it's going to get security updates every 6 weeks too.
And if all we get is security updates, then you're going to see my next picture of the Pixel C is going to be inside of a dumpster.
You better find a nice clean dumpster.
It's going to be the shiniest, most aluminum dumpster you've ever seen.
So we will have plenty more.
And who are you going to pay for it?
Plenty more coming up.
I'll go to Trump Tower and take one of their dumpsters.
On the Pixel C.
It's huge.
Wow. That's a perfectly good place to take a break. When we come back, we're going to dive into the Q&A here real quick. And I got a special surprise for these guys. They don't know what I'm going to do. They never know what I'm going to do. I'm unpredictable like that. So
juggling again.
Jerry and I get a Pixel C in the mail.
It will not involve singing.
Check under your seats right now.
Tell you that much. All right, hang on, we'll be right back. And this episode of the podcast is also brought to you by Canary, a complete home security system in a single device. Since launching earlier this year, people across the world have been using Canary to stop burglaries and other serious events. Canary has a 1080p HD camera, complete with a wide-angle lens, motion detection, and night vision, all on a single device, and you can watch your home live at any time. Their algorithms send you intelligent notifications when something out of the ordinary is happening at home. And it has a 90-decibel siren that's loud enough to scare off intruders. Canary also pulls in local police and fire department numbers near your home, so if you're traveling, you can quickly get in touch with the right people. Plus, it arms and disarms automatically when you're coming and going. And if you don't want the camera on at all while you're there, privacy mode means that Canary's camera and mic are completely turned off when you're at home. Plus, it only records when it detects motion, and it doesn't stream an empty room 24/7. So start protecting your home with Canary today, and for a limited time, Canary is just $179. Go to meetcanary.com, use the promo code Android, and get free overnight shipping. That's meetcanary.com, and use the promo code Android. Canary, smart home security for everyone.
Jerry is part dragon.
Oh, I thought he was saying be quiet. I didn't realize he was... Is that your vaporizer?
Yes.
Not vaporizer. What do they call them? Vape? Pens.
They call them vaporizer. That's what I call them. Then again, I'm not that man. You know, I go to the mall and I see these kids holding their skateboards, and I got nothing against them. I was a kid too and did a lot of stupid stuff. But they take this and they've tweaked it so it can make huge clouds of vapor and they blow it at people, and that just man. That makes me not even want to use this outside because.
But don't blame the thing. Blame the idiots. Being idiots.
You know, so... if the vapor cloud is big enough and you had like a taser, it's water vapor, which means you could probably shock them a little bit if they were in the cloud.
Or you could just tase the person, you know, whatever.
Tom wants to know, hey guys, I've ordered a Nexus 6P and already have a power bank that has a USB-C output port. Assuming I use the USB-C port on the power bank and an improved cable, am I safe to use the power bank?
Probably. Make sure you get a cable that plays nice with USB Type-C, actually follows the standards.
And how much is your power bank putting out? What's the charger on the Pixel put out? Something like 24 watts?
I think it's 45.
Okay.
Is it that much?
Your power brick probably isn't even close, and it's going to take a whole lot longer to charge. But with the right other equipment, like Russell said, it ain't going to hurt anything.
Cool. Aaron, mine was too long. Had to comment on the Google Plus post. Okay. Jason says, I don't really understand all this hate on the Pixel C. I've had mine for almost a week, and it is hands down the best Android device I've ever used. The build quality is amazing. The keyboard is outstanding, and oh my God, the screen. I don't disagree with any of that. It is a really good tablet. For me, the biggest things, and this is subjective, is the size and the weight. And particularly when you start, when the only way you can cover this thing is with the keyboards, when you start adding all that up, it's not worth me carrying it around. It's just not. But that is not to say it is a bad tablet. I think it's a really good tablet. But what does it bring to the table that my Nexus 9 doesn't do right now for cheaper and easier to carry?
And one, it doesn't look like it has survived a fight with guerrilla drug lords.
That is true.
Like your Nexus 9. Now, which I've got to say, that is like a real problem with the Nexus 9 is that it has not survived the year well. For either Phil or I. I don't have the cuts in mine or the worn angles that Phil has, but getting fingerprints off of the back of that thing is a half an hour labor-intensive process, and it looks terrible any other time. I mean, yeah. My 7-year-old has picked this thing up and played games with it for an hour, and it looks like he threw it in the toilet. It's terrible.
I have two of them. Don't judge. The one that I actually carry with me, yeah, it looks just like Phil's. It's got gouges in it and spots where the plastic is broken. It is not built very well.
In the comparison I did with the Pixel C and the Nexus 9, I left my pictures looking like crap on purpose. I didn't, touch up the back of my Nexus 9 at all. That is how it looks. It was bad. I don't know. I'm curious to see if I actually do end up carrying the Pixel C around, and I'm tempted to lug it around just without a cover on it, which is not what I recommend doing at all and not what I want to do at all.
But
the new bag I have makes it a little more doable. I'm curious to see if it holds up. Just, I have no idea.
I mean, the alternative there, I mean, while the Nexus 9 does look seriously jacked up, you're going to drop that Pixel C once before it looks pretty ever again.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, once you dent that aluminum, there's no coming back from that.
Yep.
Like we've seen with aluminum phones and other aluminum tablets, it's going to look really, really nice right until it doesn't.
But it takes a bigger impact to make it look bad. It does not degrade gracefully like plastic does.
Yes, Jerry?
I see not too many, but I see third-party covers.
I've seen them. I don't want something on the back of it. Like, I just want a little magnetic cover. I mean, we'll see. I have seen them on Amazon. Not many.
Not many.
Google did a pretty good job launching the Nexus phones with a few different case options off the start. And obviously, third parties are really big about picking up Nexus phones. But
they wanted to push their keyboards.
Having it right off the start is really nice. Well, yeah.
What about the guys from Toast? Does Toast have something for the Pixel C?
What, you want to get a wood sticker that covers the screen?
No.
Somebody's going to look. Somebody's going to think it's like a chopping board or something.
JFM says, with the Nexus 9 keyboard, I could only justify buying it Black Friday for half off, then I might buy it for the Pixel. Yeah, it's real world use is still very limited with this sort of thing, I think. Just the OS is not very conducive for keyboards. It's like, here's this thing I can type with. Great.
Right, no matter how good the keyboard is, you need to have something to type on.
I hate to say it, but that's not a problem unique to Android tablets.
Sure.
You know, you've got the same Microsoft Office apps on Android as you do on iOS, and you have the same access to Google Docs, and of course Apple has Sheets and whatnot. It's still a far cry from a real productive experience like you have at a computer.
Jason says, I use the Pixel keyboard to type into SSH sessions, say that 10 times fast, console sessions, into network switches, email, composing spreadsheets. Sure. I would do those same things with a laptop.
You know what?
Because I'm going to do it faster.
I'd do them with a tablet, and then me and Jason could have a club, and the two of us could decide why the rest of the world doesn't do that.
You know, the other thing I was thinking about with this is not just multitasking, not just being able to switch between apps quickly, but really what's all running simultaneously. You know, I will do things in one browser screen and then switch over while that's loading and finish something somewhere else and then hop into Slack. And first, you can't switch anywhere near quickly enough for me to actually do work on a tablet. But second is what is happening simultaneously. I mean, you want to talk about productivity. It's not being able to tap on the keyboard. It's being able to have that happen. And that's the real reason I have to have a desktop computer is I'm very stick and throttles, right? So I, you know, one hand on the mouse, one hand on the keyboard and doing things back and forth like that.
Well, I think it's important to know. Just, I completely believe that you can do those things on the Pixel C. I don't in any way believe that that's the most efficient way to do them compared to just having a laptop.
Yep. All right, now, but a lot of people don't want or need a laptop. They need a tablet that can fill in
with SSH sessions and working in the terminal. You want a laptop. Well, give me a break.
No, you don't, because Jason just said otherwise.
That's right.
You can't invalidate his experience.
Right. Jason doesn't want a laptop. The Pixel C fills that need where he needs the keyboard. But I still think even for somebody like Jason, who has a use for it the way it stands, would benefit if it was made better and the keyboard worked better for Android. Boom, mic drop.
I just don't think they're just very, very, I mean, clearly people buy tablets with keyboards. I think that just most of them are better served. I mean, it's part of the compromise. They understand that they're not getting as good an experience as a laptop because, like you said, they don't want a laptop. But at the same time, you can't, you know, you have to understand that there are going to be shortcomings. If you want the best possible experience with the keyboard, you get a laptop with a keyboard on it.
And it's so weird because it's not my favorite phone, but the BlackBerry Priv is so great when I need to answer an email or send a text or talk to somebody, because I have a keyboard, and with one hand I can bang out a little message. But then I realized I don't do a lot of email on my tablet. I play games and I goof off. So maybe that's why I don't care for a keyboard on a tablet as much.
Doug says, I agree with all the Pixel C discussion, love the tablet, and really hope that the Pixel C will push developers to update their tablet support, but not sure it will at the current Pixel C price point. Well, I mean, everything starts out more expensive. It just does.
Well, he has a point. The Android app ecosystem is very indie friendly, and a college student may not have the money to burn to buy a Pixel C to make his app work better with the Pixel C.
Yep. Although, arguably,
on the other hand, yeah, we have these lovely new emulators that came out quite recently.
It's easy to tell who doesn't really use an emulator. They're better, but Google still has miles to go. It's not the same at all.
All right, so we have four of us here. It's a shame everybody isn't here, but that's all right. We have had up for about a week now, I guess, our 2015 Reader's Choice Awards. This is where you guys out there vote on your favorite things of the year. These are not our favorite things, but I thought it would be fun for us to just go through the list real quick and spit out our favorite things. In no random order. So let's just do it. Smartphone of the year, Jerry.
Nexus 6P.
Russell.
Is this my favorite or?
Yeah. Oh, if you were taking our survey, what would you say?
BlackBerry Priv.
Andrew.
I say Nexus 6P also.
I'm probably going to say 6P, but I'm real close to saying Note 5. I think Samsung did a really good job with the Note 5.
I don't even know you.
I know, right? How weird is that coming out of my mouth? But just what I'm thinking.
I have both in my favorites post, but
I like that phone a lot more than I thought I would. Yeah. Absolutely. Tablet of the year, Jerry.
NVIDIA Shield K1.
Russell?
NVIDIA Shield K1.
Andrew?
Well, yeah, I say the same, just from a value perspective.
I got to say Nexus 9 just because I didn't use the Shield. I used it for like a day. So, but fair enough.
I would have said the Nexus 9 too,
yep.
Except every time, you know, I look at the Shield, I see a little update for the security patch. You have ticked my boxes. I love you.
And I tell you, except for the software, I think Dell put out some really interesting things this year too.
And, I think Dell nailed the hardware.
Yeah.
They just got to figure out the software.
Yeah. The biggest head scratcher of 2015. So the options these are your kind of WTF moments. I have on there just as suggestions, HTC One A9 looks more than a little bit like an iPhone. The LG Watch Urbane Second Edition LTE is released and then canceled. Plus, it has that name. Motorola abandons the Moto E and some Moto X models for Marshmallow. BlackBerry makes an Android phone with a keyboard. Phones bend if you try hard enough. Who knew? And other. So, I don't know. Jerry, what is your strangest thing you've seen this year?
LG's watch.
Yeah.
I can't believe they didn't find an issue that they found before anybody else ever got it. I mean, it's not like the public found this issue. I can't believe that got released and recalled the way it did. That's amazing to me.
Really strange, yeah. Russell?
Yeah, I'm, for pretty obvious reasons, I'm going to go with the watch, just because I was the one who lived that weird little nightmare.
Andrew?
I have to say the phone bending thing just went on and on and on, and I'm so, so tired of it. It's a head scratcher from the perspective of why does everybody think this is so important?
I've got one in that same vein, and I can't believe I forgot to put it on here as a suggestion. But I'm going to say the Note 5 stylus being put in backwards.
No,
that's a legitimate.
It was serious enough that Samsung decided to re-release their packaging with a sticker on it.
Well, sure, because right. I told them to.
But my issue.
He's not saying that it's understandable. He's saying it's a head scratcher.
Yeah.
You couldn't put it in backwards on previous models. So
yes, you
being
could.
Able to, well,
it just didn't break it catastrophically.
You got a warning on the Note 4, the Note 3, it didn't fit. There was a reason. Somebody thought about that before, and it's not like they didn't know that it should, and they still let the Note 5 go out the door the way it did.
Well, that's my answer, and I'm sticking to it. Game of the year, anyone have a big game that stands out? What's been your favorite game, Jerry? Doesn't even have to be from this year. What are you playing?
Bloons TD5.
What is that?
I think it's from this year. It's a tower defense game with monkeys. Just got a huge update with Google Play game support and cloud save.
Oh. Russell?
I think the internet
graphics took it. Did we lose Russell? That's what I get for clicking over. He did. Look at that. Andrew, you?
I don't play a ton of games. I'm playing this game called Tap Tap Dash right now, and it's just exploding my head every single time I play it, because it's one of those puzzle games that they make like 400 levels, but I don't think they ever intend anybody to ever actually get to the end of it.
You got to see.
It also has like cross-device sync and all that jazz.
You got to see my app pick for this week. It's $5. It's not a cheap game, I guess, but it's pretty good for a puzzle game if you like puzzle games. Russell, what is your game of the year? What have you been playing?
Vainglory.
Yes. That's my answer,
too. I'm really, really terrible at it, but I really enjoy playing it.
I'm either really good or really bad. There's not a whole lot of in-between.
Yeah.
What's your character? Do you have a favorite one?
The dude with the pistols.
Yeah.
He's like kind of a shogun-y cowboy-looking dude with the pistols, and he shoots fire. We got this big fire-breathing dragon dude.
I don't mind saying I spent a little money to get the other skins for a couple of
Yeah, his shogun outfits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a really good game if you haven't played Vainglory. It's very well done. And God,
it's MOBA trash. Don't listen to these two guys.
And it's not something I think I would normally get into, but
find you, Hildenbrand.
Look, it takes a long time. I mean, the games are like 20, 30 minutes each.
Yeah, it's not like calling it a mobile game is a pretty significant exaggeration. You're sitting down for a while.
Yeah, this is not
great. It's a great game.
Yeah,
I was just jerking Russell's chain.
And I tell you, it's a little more fun to play in the Pixel C. It's a little more fun to play in the Pixel C because you can charge the Pixel C and you can play more than like 4 games a day before you have to let it charge overnight. But anyway, photo editor, I'm going to say Google Photos has been huge for me this year. Anybody else?
Photo handler or photo editor?
I just said photo editor, whatever that means. Not a very good question.
Because Google Photos is great for handling all my images, but the editor is trash.
Yeah. Snapseed, what do you use?
Snapseed, or I just run it into Lightroom if I really care enough.
Lightroom Mobile, I think, deserves a nod. Absolutely.
Yeah, just but Google Photos just as the library management is great.
Jerry, anything there?
If I'm using a phone that's not the V10, I use Snapseed. What's built into the V10? Just stop. Just that. That's the way to do it.
And G4 because it's real similar.
Yeah. The V10 just takes everything like to turns it to 11. But the G4 is great too. That just nails it for me. For years, you all heard me say that, you know, it's not a real phone. It'll never substitute, or not a real camera. It'll never substitute for a real camera. LG got close. They got close enough that I use it.
Anything for you, Russell?
I don't do really any photo editing on the phone still. Like, there are really great apps. And when I sit down and think about it, you know, I'll open up Lightroom once or twice, or I'll open up Snapseed once or twice. And they're both installed on my phone right now, but I will almost always send it to Lightroom on my desktop and play with it there instead.
Again, I will say Lightroom Mobile. It's not great if you're trying to sync from multiple devices in, because it's only like one mobile device into your account, but it works really well. So very cool. Best travel app? I just kind of have it in there because it's a good category.
Weirdly, Inbox.
I was going to say Google. Google is, I've sworn by TripIt for a long time and I still use it as kind of a backup, but I don't even have the app on my phones anymore because Google is doing that good a job of categorizing all the stuff. And just last week, they made it so you can basically share entire itineraries with people, right?
Right. I mean, that's the main thing I was really using for TripIt for still is having that calendar of all my itineraries that I can share with other people who can just add it to their Google calendar and have my itinerary there. But I mean, I don't use TripIt throughout like the travel process. That's all Google now because it can, you know, it can scan the emails. It knows what's going on. It knows when things get updated. It's wonderful.
I don't travel a lot for work, just a couple times a year. But the fact that TripIt has a widget and I can slide over, create a new screen, put a full-size widget on it. And if I need to see like the address of my hotel, pull my phone out, swipe over one, bam, there it is. That's pretty slick.
I think that's interesting that you would go with that, but you don't see Google Now offering the same thing for you?
Yes, Google Now offers it, but I have to look for it.
With TripIt, and you have to swipe in the other direction.
No, I get what he's saying, because there can be stuff in the way. And
there's Google other stuff on there.
Yes, I see, you know, Tampa Bay Buccaneers everywhere because I showed interest in them at one point.
Or Google Now is so stupid that, you know, I can be in New York and it says, you know, time to home when it knows it knows damn well that you're in New York and it knows that you already have a flight tomorrow.
TripIt isn't nearly as elegant and it's not as functional on that level, but it gives me exactly what I need to know right up front.
Anyone using a browser other than Chrome?
No.
Why would I?
Keyboard. What's everybody using, Jerry?
Use the Nexus keyboard.
It's gotten really good.
I know the Google keyboard from Google Play is on 99% parity with it, so that's what I install and use.
Yep, I use the Google keyboard when I'm not using the BlackBerry Priv keyboard.
Right, and of course I use the Priv keyboard on the Priv. But
Andrew,
I use Google keyboard also. I actually don't have too much of a problem with the most stock keyboards, but just for continuity, I install Google keyboard on everything so I can actually type properly when I switch devices.
I tend to leave the Google keyboard on my tablets, but I use SwiftKey on phones. I'm not quite sure why. Maybe it's just laziness, but it's kind of weird. But it's gotten really good.
Feature.
Yeah, it's gotten really good. Podcatcher. What does everybody use for podcasts?
Pocket Cast.
Pocket Cast here as well.
Yep.
Dog Catcher.
Dog Catcher's still really good.
Yeah, I'm just all about the... Does Dog Catcher have a web interface?
I don't know.
Yeah, being able to...
I listen a lot on the web.
Yeah. Being able to, like, you know, I listen at home over Bluetooth. I get in the car and Pocket Cast work, and a lot of them work with Android Auto now. But then getting out of my car and into the office, and I can just pick it right back up on the desktop. Really, really cool.
See, and I think a lot of the reasons that's not how I listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
When I'm done for the day, I put on a pair of headphones and listen to podcasts on my phone.
I'm really curious to see how Google's going to handle it in Google Play Music.
Yeah, they kind of started doing that, and then...
Well, no, I mean, it was just to get people to put their podcasts in. So, like, and I check, like, every day to make sure it hadn't gone live, and obviously they'll tell us when it does. Mm-hmm. But it's been a while, so I don't know when that's going
to
happen.
There are lots of good options right now. I don't see any reason why I would love to have my podcast mix into the same app as my music.
Yeah.
I have two different apps.
Yeah. I see one good reason there, and that's suggestions of things that will meet your interest.
Discoverability is going to be, and that's why I'm excited for this, really, to hopefully.
Google knows when I bought underwear last, and if they're going to have that information, share it and make my life better, go for it.
Underwear podcast.
I think Russell got me to change it to best modding app, but you guys do any like hackery modding, anything?
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Yeah.
I mean, my favorite is still just the terminal emulator because that's just how I do it. That doesn't mean it's right or better. That's just how I do it.
I barely change my wallpaper anymore.
I got to say, I did a lot of work recently with Ara on the big theming post that she did for Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And got me using a ton of apps that I had never, ever considered using before because they're... I don't really use Nova Launcher. I'm usually pretty fine with whatever launcher that's on there. But the combination of Nova Launcher and the icon packs, just the sheer number of icon packs that are available now that aren't terrible, I'm really surprised by how much of this you can do without root access now. And I'm really excited to see like what I can do with that now. Like, I haven't been that happy about messing around with my interface in a long time.
I don't know how I don't have this as a question on there, but what launchers everybody using, Jerry?
Well, Nova Launcher, and yeah. I want to change my answer. When you said modding, I thought you meant, like, modding.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, that's originally what that question was. Then I just realized we don't have, launchers as an option. I mean, so
if it wasn't for Nova Launcher, I'd never use one of these LG phones ever again. That's just it.
Is everybody using Nova but me?
I usually just use the stock launcher, like whatever the stock is on something. It wasn't until very, very recently that I started taking Nova Launcher seriously.
I use the Google Now launcher just, again, for consistency between devices. On tablets, sometimes the tablet customizations that the manufacturer does on the tablet are good enough that I'll keep that launcher, but usually Google Now launcher.
I use Action Launcher on phones, and I don't use a launcher on tablets. Just... not as necessary. I like just having a list of apps, whatever. Coolest VR experience, Jerry?
Google Cardboard, because I can do it on every phone.
Something to be said for that. Russell?
Are we talking specifically mobile?
No.
Oh, well, then definitely the Vive.
Vive, yeah. Yeah, Vive's on the list, by the way. So is Oculus. Andrew?
I definitely say Vive from the interactivity aspect of it. I think that Oculus does really awesome stuff in terms of just visuals and everything, but the controllers, and the complete fine grain control that you have, and you know, even just the demo stuff they have now is way, way cooler.
I'm going to say Vive too. Gear VR is really interesting at the price point. And,
right.
And we've talked about the different levels of VR. And I completely agree with Jerry that Cardboard is awesome for what it is too. I mean, really cool to see just so many options at so many price points. What is the best place for a fingerprint scanner, Jerry? On the front, on the back, or on the side?
In the garbage. That's unsafe. People steal your life. No, in the back.
Yeah.
Steal your life.
I don't want... if you put a fingerprint scanner on the front that doesn't also act as a physical button, that may be okay. But, the back just seems more like a natural placement for me. It's where my finger sits.
Do you think we're going to change our answer to that if and when it ends up like on the screen?
Yes, yeah. Because that'd be much more convenient. And the technology's ready. They just need to do it.
Russell?
I have yet to use one that's on the side. So I'm going to have to say on the back, though I'm still not totally happy with it.
This is the internet. That doesn't preclude you from having an opinion.
I don't like using it in the car because I have to kind of like weirdly reach around my phone holder to get to it to unlock it.
I don't like you using it in the car either.
Ooh, good point. Andrew, front, back, or the side?
Again, haven't used one on the side either, so I like the back. And I'm not sure if that's mostly because the Nexus sensor itself is really, really good and the software implementation is good, or if I just like the positioning, but I like the big round sensor on the back, which there's not really room to do that on the side or the front. So
I agree.
Back is the way to go there.
I'm a fan of the back.
Russell, when you come and beat me senseless, bring Chris so he can
record it in 4K.
And finally, which phone has that you have used has the best fingerprint experience?
Oh, definitely the 6P.
Yeah,
is my favorite with the Note 5 in probably third place, and the iPhone 6S Plus in second, but like a really close second. They are very, very similar.
I have really good luck with the fingerprint scanner on the new Samsung devices. My wife's had several before she could decide what she wanted. Much better than I have with the iPhone. I don't know why. I think something to do with the way it's red, and I have big long scars across the tips of my fingers. I know it's me. It's not the sensor.
You should see the other guy.
But the Nexus fingerprint, what the heck's it called? Nexus imprint?
Nexus imprint. Yeah.
It actually works, I would say, 99% of the time, which I never thought I would see because of the mess my fingers are. So, good on them.
I still have yet to see any evidence that Nexus imprint is actually learning over time.
Yeah.
My fingerprint sensor still fails in the exact same places that it did when I first set it up. So,
marketing speak.
Yeah, I'm sure. But
I want to take a second and say that the LG V10 is the absolute worst fingerprint experience ever on any device, and that includes those old readers I had that plugged into serial ports made by Hewlett-Packard.
I think it worked for like a day, and then it just started getting worse. I'm not quite sure how that happens.
If this phone tells me to place my finger over the sensor on the back one more time, I'm going to throw it at the wall, and it will probably break my wall because it's built like a tank.
And that goes back to Jerry loves this phone. Jerry hates this phone.
I want to think that it's a good thing that LG didn't try to reinvent the core of the operating system like Samsung did. Samsung's works better because it's deeper ingrained and it just does better. Maybe it's the sensor. I don't know what it is, but if Marshmallow comes to the V10 and it doesn't fix this fingerprint sensor, a lot of people are going to be rightfully upset.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'll say 6P too. I have high hopes for LG in 2016. There's a lot to like about the V10, but I agree. There's something weird there, which is unfortunate.
You should add a one category to your survey.
What's that?
Favorite mobile payment app, now that we have so many.
None. None.
Well, for in-store payments, we really only have two. Or three with that.
Samsung Pay is awesome because it works pretty much anywhere. Android Pay is great because it's generally already on my phone and just easy to use, and you don't need specific banks because they emulate that stuff.
Need to do is... somebody needs to build a payment system that works everywhere on everything. And even if it's not the best, the fact that it's universal will make it the best. But that requires that these companies cooperate with each other. And that
the only thing we really have going for us now is that with new payment readers that are coming out to accept chip cards, which is starting to come into the big chains, especially those for the most part have NFC on them, unless the store has explicitly blocked it. So there's a little better acceptance there, but I just don't know how we're ever going to break into the point where it's going to be accepted as universally as credit cards are.
And the chip thing is still just a mess, too. Yeah, it's still quicker and easier for me to pull out a card and swipe it.
Heck, it's easier to pull out my phone and tap it than to deal with that.
Mm. It's a mess no matter how you look at it.
Yep.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for us. We get a whole week off, guys.
Woo-hoo. Wow.
Whatever is everybody going to do? You're all going to go back and listen to old podcasts. That's what you should do. Spend all week. Don't listen to them. They're pretty horrible. It's pretty funny. You should go back and listen to like some of the way early ones. That's kind of fun. Back when it was just me and Mickey. What do you guys think of this rumor that they're going to name in via a survey?
I think that was Sundar making a joke.
That's what I thought.
And people said, oh my God, Android N, right.
We all know it's going to be lawyers who name it anyway, right?
And who cares? Just...
Then there's that.
I have so many more important things.
What is this? Is it? Oh, this is December, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't care.
Just checking. So, yes, no podcast Christmas week. We shall return with something the week after. And then the week after that, we're in Vegas for CES. It's going to be insane. Hey, by the way, HTC is teasing some big update to Vive at CES, which I don't know what else they could do other than maybe hopefully wireless head, you know, instead of the visor being tethered to the computer.
That's a lot. That's a big ask, though, because not only would it have to be battery powered, but the data transmission for...
And that's what they'd always said. The data was the big deal because it's so much information flowing back and forth that the latency was a real problem.
So, I mean, if they've solved the latency and they've got a battery on that thing that'll last a while, that is so just a massive leap over Oculus.
Yep. We'll see. That'll be exciting.
But it's huge because the interactivity of Vive really would benefit from having no cords. I mean, you're still in the back of your mind. You're aware of the fact that you have the cords dangling off the back of your head, and you're aware of that when you're trying to walk around in your...
On the other hand... I don't know if you guys remember the first generation of the Nintendo Wii, those little remotes that would go flying into televisions before the straps got released. Mm-hmm. People are going to run full speed into walls.
Very true.
It's going to be great.
The videos alone are going
to
be awesome.
The Vive is going to have to work on their little digital geofencing thing that they have. They're going to have to trigger that way earlier because people are...
Well, because even then, like you know, you remember like the big demo where that giant whale comes down. Yeah. Someone's going to freak out and like try to slide backwards or something, and it's just going to be game over.
It's going to be so much fun. Well, thank you, everybody, for a really good year. It's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of work. It's been a lot of fun. It's been very cool. We're going to do it all again next year, and we're going to do even more, or at least something different. I don't know. We'll figure it out. So, we will see you in a couple weeks. In the meantime, keep sending your questions in, podcast@androidcentral.com. We will pick up on those in 2 weeks. Send your voicemails there as well. Thank you to shopandroid.com for letting us do this little thing, as well as all our other sponsors. That it's been fun doing that and having all of them on board. Jerry, Russell, Andrew, anything you guys want to say to close out the year? Not all at once. All right, well said.
Try to have a dope life and do dope.
Fair enough.
Took the words right out of my mouth, Jerry. Perfect.
All right, Russell, can you top that?
No, I'm not even going to bother trying. Are you kidding me?
All right, well, we will see you all in 2016. Everybody be good to each other over the holidays. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye.